What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Frame of Mind. This is your host, Terry Sue, and today we will be discussing the benefits of Ayurvedic practices with Laura Galoon, Director of Wellness Services at the Yoga Shakti Wellness Center in Huntington Beach, California. As Director of the Wellness Services for the Yoga Shakti Wellness Center, Laura brings a variety of skills and associated experience to the center. She has been a registered nurse for over 30 years, primarily in the operating room. She has studied Ayurveda for about 12 years and graduated from the California College of Ayurveda as a clinical Ayurvedic specialist and a Panchakarma specialist. In addition to her formal training, she brings to her clients a lifelong interest in natural health and well-being. So welcome, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin by having you tell our listening audience about Yoga Shakti Wellness Center and what it has to offer.
Well, we actually have two studios, one in Huntington Beach and one in Irvine. And we are started as a yoga studio where we offer yoga asana classes. That's the yoga poses. And then we incorporated Ayurveda, chiropractic, and massage as well, because they all work together to help people stay healthy.
And so what are the different kinds of classes that are offered there, other than what you just mentioned? I'm sure there are other different programs having to do with Ayurveda.
Well, occasionally we have workshops concerning Ayurveda. We also have workshops on yoga philosophy. We have workshops exploring the poses more in depth. With some of our more experienced yoga teachers. And so we also are going to be starting meditation classes.
Oh, that's good. That sounds good. So for those of us, for the listening audience who is new to Ayurveda, could you give us a little bit of background on what it is and what its origin is?
Sure. The actual definition is the science or knowledge of life, taken from the Sanskrit, which doesn't really tell you very much, but it is the ancient traditional system of healthcare from India, and which, even though it is considered alternative, it is a very ancient practice. And it's really an amazing paradigm of just the way of looking at existence, the human body, and health. And the origin is, of course, in ancient India. And it is said that the wise men of India meditated the direct knowledge of Ayurveda. And it was passed on orally for thousands of years, and finally written down about 5,000 years ago. And since then, it's been practiced. And, of course, in modern times, the practices have changed a bit, but we still have quite a few of the older texts, not the 5,000-year-old ones, too many of those, but we do have some that are around the birth of Christ, and so we study those, and also, as I said, there have been some modern evolution of the treatments and study as well.
So there are different variations and interpretations as well, right?
Sometimes. Most people, you know, try to stick pretty closely to the older versions, but as I said, in the modern times, especially here in the United States, it's a little more difficult to maintain the older practices. It was originally practiced in a rural setting in the villages.
Yes.
And so it's different. It's a different way of life in our modern urban settings than it is in the rural settings. But the principles themselves are the same.
Well, that brings me to my next question then. So what does it mean to live an Ayurvedic lifestyle?
Primarily,
especially in today's times.
Right. Primarily, it's bringing back to being in harmony with nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's done by two main things. One is being aware of one's true state of health, and the other one is taking responsibility for maintaining that health. And understanding that the way we live our daily lives has a direct influence on our health.
So during the course of study, there's a lot of self-realization that occurs as a result of learning about Ayurveda and then how we can make the necessary adjustments to our own personal lifestyles.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, could you, with that in mind, I'd like to ask you to share a little bit or give us a little bit of an overview of the philosophy of health and treatment of disease from that standpoint, from the Ayurvedic standpoint.
Okay, the Ayurvedic definition of health is not just freedom from disease, the way we tend to look at it in the West. In Ayurveda, the definition of health is having the doshas in balance, and we'll probably talk about those a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also having a vibrant energy and a joy of life, as well as having a knowledge of yourself and your state of health or wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's primarily being aware,
yes,
of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the differences between the allopathic Western paradigm and the Ayurvedic paradigm are, number one, allopathic medicine tends to be disease management.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the last, 5 or 10 years or so, that has begun to shift so that we're looking at more health-based practices and preventive care rather than waiting for disease to happen and then taking care of that. But Ayurveda has always been more about maintaining health.
So would you say that has more to do with, traditional medicine has more to do with, or modern medicine, I should say, has more to do with treating the symptoms rather than the person, and with Ayurveda, it has to do with looking at the overall well-being of a person and their relationship to nature?
Correct. Right. In Ayurveda, we work to maintain the balance of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Another difference is that in allopathic medicine, or the Western medicine, we tend to see the doctor or some sort of health practitioner when we're sick.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Ayurveda, we have daily practices in order to stay healthy.
Okay.
Another difference is that allopathic medicine tends to look for external causes of disease, whereas in Ayurveda, we say that dis-ease,
mm-hmm.
even before
yes.
it becomes disease, starts in the digestive system in the mind.
So that strong mind-body connection has a lot to do with not only how healthy a person is, but how well they respond to whatever kinds of treatment they are receiving.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
And
well,
Ayurveda tends to be more individualized mm-hmm. than the allopathic, which is more generalized. An example is, the pharmaceuticals for maintaining healthy blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
We have, these drugs that you take if you have high blood pressure, and frequently the only individualization is in the dosage.
Yes.
Whereas in Ayurveda, we look at, okay, why does this person have high blood pressure? What's out of balance? And not necessarily looking for a pill or even an herb, mm-hmm. but looking at everything that could normalize the blood pressure.
Well, it's time for us to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to go a little bit more into depth with that and talk about the doshas. So
All right. This
is Terry Sue with my guest, Laura Galoon, Director of Wellness Services at the Yoga Shakti Wellness Center in Huntington Beach. And you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our discussion with my guest, Laura Galoon. And I want to ask you about the doshas, and we need to really kind of explain the doshas to our listening audience, those who are unfamiliar. I'm sure those of you who are familiar with the doshas know what your particular one is, and Laura will explain to us what they are.
Well, they're very elusive to start with. The definition of them is that they're functional principles that work throughout nature. And so they're primary life forces They're behind all the physiological and psychological functions in nature throughout the universe as well. And most of the time we talk about them in relationship to our human bodies. So they're bioenergies that you can't see, but you can see the effects of them. There are three of them, and that's the Vata, Pitta, Kapha that you may have heard already. And we all have all three of them in our basic constitution. And our basic constitution is the proportion of the doshas that is unique to each individual. And these, our basic constitution doesn't change throughout our lifetime. And for optimal health, we need to maintain this balance of our basic constitution. What does change is our current state through what we eat, the lifestyle we lead, all kinds of influences increase one or more of the doshas. And that's when we say we are out of balance. And basically, Ayurveda works to bring us back into balance according to what our basic constitution is.
You know, I recently heard someone explain that with an analogy that was kind of like a sound system. Some of us like a little bit more treble. Some of us like a little bit more bass. And so you have to find, and while you can, if you're looking at that little graph or table and you watch it moving up and down as the music is playing, you kind of look for that balance that sounds good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting analogy because it does make you kind of rethink about what does work for you and what works for your body and your system. And if one part is out of balance, then you have to bring it into balance. Somebody else may like a little bit more bass, but it's not a question of whether or not they like it. It's a question, in this case, it's a question of whether or not that is something that's the healthiest for that particular individual.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And as I said, we all have all three.
Mm-hmm.
And they are Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Vata is the principle of movement. So it is responsible for all the movement in our bodies and minds, for breathing, the intake of sensory perceptions, the muscle movement, blood circulation, nerve impulse in our nervous systems. And so if Vata is increased, we tend to have a lot of things going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. As our modern life in the United States is already. And so we can just see a lot of movement in our lives or in another person if we're looking at someone else. Pitta is the principle of transformation. It's responsible for metabolism, perception, digestion, absorption, and the processing of all that sensory data that Vata brings in to our minds. And also the enzymes and the hormones in our bodies. Kapha is the principle of stability, and it's responsible for our body itself, and also all the fluids and lubrication in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So the bones, muscles, the joint lubrication, and one of the most important things that Kapha is responsible for is our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So we are part of all of these, or all of these are parts of us, and as I said, keeping them in balance keeps us healthy.
So as far as the elements are concerned, I know I am Kapha, so that would be water and earth. And when that's out of balance, you might have a lot of mud going on there and stuff right. that you need to need to get rid of
called
in order
lethargy.
to feel healthy. And then pitta has that fire.
Right.
That fire and that wind.
Water.
Fire and water.
Right.
And with that, you have to make sure that things don't get too hot and bothered. You
exactly.
don't get too hot and bothered, because that has a lot to do with your emotional stability as mm-hmm. well as the physical stability
right.
of your well-being.
Right.
And I know Vata, it is, as you said before, is that air and wind and movement.
Right.
And sometimes moving around too much will cause an instability in the mind as well as in the body. And so maintaining that balance is extremely important.
Exactly.
And making sure that we pay attention to our own bodies and minds, that and how we are treating it, what we're putting into our bodies, that also can affect our minds.
That's correct. And
so
in our society today, especially in Southern California, we have Vata and Pitta disturbances all around us.
Yes.
There's so much fast movement. There's traffic. There's driving. There are cell phones. There's computers. All this increases Vata. And then on top of that, we have the competitiveness and the drive that is Pitta. And so it's hard to avoid
mm-hmm.
increasing that Vata and Pitta in ourselves. And so we especially have to look out for that.
So when we talk about some of the imbalances, I know there's the ama, and those, that part of ama is all of the impurities that can stagnate us in general, whether it's vata, pitta, or mm-hmm. kapha. And then we have agni, that digestive fire
mm-hmm.
that helps things to flow smoothly. We need more agni. We need less ama. And then there's the ojas, which are those channels that help to filter through all of those good elements that go through our body to help us to function well in general. So could you talk just a little bit about that, ama, agni, and ojas?
Sure. Ama actually is undigested food, whether it's the gross food that we eat, or emotions, or thoughts. It's simply something that our minds and our bodies have not been able to digest.
Mm-hmm.
And so it increases in the body and bodies and minds, and actually becomes toxic. So we try to get rid of that. If it builds up, we try to get rid of it as much as we possibly can, as quickly as we can. And one of the ways we do that, since it is undigested material, is through increasing the agni, which is the digestive fire. And in Ayurveda, not only do we have agnis in our digestive system, but each of the tissues
mm-hmm.
have agnis as well. And so we try to increase the agni throughout the body, not just, for example, in the stomach with digestive enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
The trick for that is that agni is hot. And so the fine line here is increasing the agni without increasing the pitta.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we kind of walk a tightrope.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
if someone has a lot of pitta in their basic constitution, because they will tend to be hot anyway.
Yeah.
And then ojas is actually the final tissue. Ayurveda looks at tissues a little bit differently, which may be too much to go into right now, but mm-hmm. ojas is...
So we're coming up on a break right now.
Okay.
Actually, that might be a good stopping point for us right now. We can just pick up where we leave off.
All right.
So it's time for us to take a short break. And so this is Terry Sue with Laura Galone, Director of the Wellness Services at Yoga Shakti Wellness Center in Huntington Beach. And you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Well, welcome back. We're back with Laura Galone, Director of the Wellness Services at Yoga Shakti Wellness Center in Huntington Beach. And we were talking about doshas and how they are aligned with the elements of nature. And so, Laura, could you, I think I stopped you at ojas, and could you explain ojas a little, what it is and how our bodies relate to that and how it our body's function.
Sure. Ojas is the final product of our digestion and tissue building, actually, according to Ayurveda. And so in order to produce ojas, we have to take in and digest the proper nutrients in order to build each of the tissues. If we don't have enough of the proper nutrients for each layer of the tissues, as I said, Ayurveda looks at tissues a little bit differently than Western medicine, then we can't move on to build the next layer. Mm-hmm. And so since ojas is the final layer, we have to create the environment in order for us to build that final layer of tissue. And it's also a little more esoteric than that. It's actually our primal vigor. It's our mental strength. It's contentment. It's our immunity. It's our basic stability. So ojas is a very, very good thing to cultivate. And we do that through, as I said, the nutrients that we take in and digest. One of the differences, going back to the differences between Western and Ayurvedic practices, is that Western medicine and nutrition talks about what we take in, what we eat.
Mm-hmm.
Ayurveda looks at how we digest what we take in.
That's right, because even though we can take in healthy foods and things that will serve our bodies well, if we don't get rid of it once we have gotten all of the nutritional value out of it, if it's just sitting there, then it becomes toxic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we look at how people digest things. For example, broccoli. Broccoli, according to Western nutrition, is a wonderful food and everyone should eat it. It has, you know, all the phytonutrients and the antioxidants, etc. According to Ayurveda, broccoli, yes, is a wonderful food, but it's not for everyone all the time. And if I can slip a little saying in that we have in Ayurveda, is that everything's good for someone, nothing is good for everyone.
Everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it all depends on the state of your body, the state of your digestion. So if you're digesting things properly, you can eat things that aren't necessarily the highest quality and still extract the nutrients from them that you need. If your digestion is not working properly, you could be eating the best organic, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. from Whole Foods.
Absolutely.
And it will be the same as garbage.
Yes, because your body can't get rid of it.
Right.
It's like that broccoli. For some, it's very gas producing.
Yes, and so it tends to increase vata.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you have a vata increase already, then broccoli is not going to be something that you should eat frequently.
Mm-hmm. So a good segue, I think, into our next topic would be, once we learn those foods and behaviors that are good for us, that are nourishing to us. I know that Ayurveda incorporates, and a big cornerstone of Ayurveda is meditation. So we have prayer, meditation, and yoga. And so could you touch a little bit on the significance of meditation to Ayurveda?
One of the benefits of meditation is an increase in self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's kind of a circle. The more aware of your body-mind you are, the easier it is to meditate. And the more you meditate, the more awareness develops. So that's a large part of the reason that we frequently recommend meditation.
I know the phrase that often resonates well with me is the difference between prayer and meditation is that prayer is talking to or giving gratitude or asking of God, and meditation is listening to God, giving yourself that quietness of mind to listen to those subtle messages that do kind of pipe through as you are in that stillness and silence with yourself.
Right. In prayer, your mind is busy.
Yes.
As you say, either giving gratitude or talking or asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And in meditation, the mind is the goal anyway. It doesn't always happen. But the goal is for the mind to be still. And so that's really a big, big difference. And another difference is that, as you said, the prayer is communicating with an external, and meditation is more just stilling and being, not necessarily communicating with an external.
And just for a little clarification, Ayurveda is not a religion. It's a frame of mind.
Right. Yoga and Ayurveda grew up from the same philosophy, but it's not a religion. The Hindu religion developed from the same philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, where people get confused. But neither yoga nor Ayurveda is a religion.
Right. And so, how would anybody know whether or not Ayurveda is right for them?
Well, it's right for everybody.
I know that there is nothing that I have learned that is not beneficial.
Exactly.
It all makes so much sense. And living with nature, we live here on this planet. We're all part of nature. We all are part of a web of connection. We're interdependent
right. On
every living thing on this planet. And learning to live in harmony with that makes sense. Everything that your body is made of, every molecule, every cell, is so important. And how we live with those external elements, as well as the internal elements within our psyche, within our bodies, within our minds, within our spirits, cannot be in tune if we are not in tune with nature. So it just the whole philosophy just makes so much sense to me.
It does. It makes total sense. And the more you study it and the more you learn, the more sense it makes.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amazing.
And the more you want to know.
Right. And it really is for everybody. It's beneficial. It would be beneficial for everyone. But I guess the question would be to ask oneself is are you willing to make a commitment to health and to cultivate the awareness that requires?
Hold that thought. Because it's time for us to take another short break.
Okay.
All right. So this is Terry Sue with Laura Galoon of the Yoga Shakti Wellness Center. And you are listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Leadership is a destination, but how do you get there? More importantly, how do you maximize your power and influence and develop more leaders in your organization? Learn from proven leaders and proven practices. Join Drs. Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler for Leadership Development News. This program will help you develop the next leaders in your organization, balance your work life, manage your boss, and manage yourself. We'll feature cutting-edge interviews with industry experts and authors. Leadership Development News, every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
And once again, welcome back, everyone, as we continue our discussion on Ayurveda with Laura Galoon, Director of Wellness Services at the Yoga Shakti Wellness Center in Huntington Beach. So, Laura, how would a person get started if they wanted to make that change, make some changes in their lives?
Well, they could read, and there are some excellent books that you can, you know, look on Amazon, Dr. Lod, Dr. Svoboda, Deepak Chopra. There's some really entertaining and educational books out there. You could also see a practitioner. We have quite a few in the area, and that's really the best way to get started, because then you have a more personal, individualized assessment and recommendations that mm-hmm. way.
What do you think would be the easiest change to make if someone were brand new, other than the reading? And okay, say for instance they did the reading, so and what then they sat back and they started reflecting and saying, okay, so how do I get? So what do I do? Okay. What are some of the easiest changes to
one
make?
One of the easiest things is no iced drinks.
Oh, I can attest to that.
Very, very simple, and it sounds like, okay, what's that going to do for me? Mm. But iced drinks tend to decrease that digestive agni that we were speaking
Absolutely.
About earlier. And so we don't want to decrease that agni, usually anyway. And so room temperature or warmer drinks, beverages of any kind, are the recommendation.
Here's
so
a
that's
visual.
A very that's an easy thing. It's not it's not common in our society, mm-hmm. but it's still an easy thing to do.
And you know, I really thought that would be a hard transition for me, but it hasn't. Here's a visual aid for you. Imagine, and I don't eat beef or pork anymore, but imagine taking that bacon grease that's been heated and then pouring some ice water on top of it. And then you look at that, that's pretty much what's happening.
Right.
With you. But then... This as distasteful as this sounds, imagine drinking some warm water instead of cold water.
Right. Yeah.
You know, just imagine those kinds of things going through your system, and you readily can see the benefits of trying to drink warm water over cool or ice water.
Yeah.
It does make a big difference. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning, as a matter of fact, is I drink 8 ounces of warm water.
That's great.
Yeah, and that just kind of helps get things going, if you know what I mean.
Right.
First thing in the morning, and that's a good feeling over the ice water.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I that was one of the first changes I made. And it wasn't really that easy for me at first, because I tended to, I was an ice water kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
But once I did, I could really readily feel that, the changes. So is it, and so going into my next topic, kind of, does a person have to be, because I hear this all the time, and even though I know the answer, some people may still not really grasp that concept. So do you have to be a vegetarian in order to live an Ayurvedic lifestyle?
No, certainly not. In the society and the foods we have available to us readily, most meat is not that good for us.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly don't have to stop eating meat in order to practice an Ayurvedic lifestyle. In fact, sometimes meat is recommended for certain conditions and certain trying to balance certain doshas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly not strictly a vegetarian plan.
So you don't really have to change everything at one time. You can just
absolutely
make gradual
not
changes.
In fact, it's usually better not to try to change everything at one time. It's better to take a few small changes in your life and integrate those for at least 2 to 3 weeks before you move on to something else, because it takes time to create new habits.
That's right.
Especially if, well, I use an example. If I gave a whole laundry list of changes, of things to do to a person with a vata imbalance, they would just get totally overwhelmed and not do any of them.
Mm-hmm.
If mm-hmm. I gave that same list to a person with a pitta imbalance, they would be, okay, which is priority, you know, I'm going to do this today, and I'm going to do these 5 things tomorrow, and they would burn themselves out trying to get everything done because they're so driven and competitive.
And fiery.
And fiery, yes. And if I gave that laundry list to a person with a kapha imbalance, they would look at it and say, "What? Are you crazy? I'm not doing any of that." So, it's, as I said, it's better to take just a few things and get them integrated and then move on to other things, because it just doesn't work to do everything, try to do everything at the same time.
And on top of that, it makes it difficult to know what will work for you and what won't, because
exactly.
you do need to give it a chance to give your body a chance to make that adjustment and feel good before taking on something else, where if you took everything on at once and then you became discouraged, the first thing that you would say is, oh, none of that works.
Exactly. And it's also part of the process of the individualization,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we have things that we say work for, you know, 90% of the time for people, but you might be the one person in that other 10% that one thing doesn't work. So it's all intertwined.
Yes. How has Ayurveda changed your life?
Well.
I know that's a loaded question, but
well, there are lots of different ways. A simple thing is I had an atrial fibrillation mm-hmm. condition
mm-hmm.
for several years, and I had a surgical intervention for it, which didn't work. And so I was on medication for several years. And around that time, I started studying Ayurveda, and I saw a practitioner and started working with programs, etc. And eventually, I was able to get the vata in balance and stop taking the medication altogether. Now, I have to place a caveat on that legally, you know, we cannot say stop medication
that's
been prescribed by a licensed practitioner, and I don't do that. But in my case, I was working with my physician, who
yes.
also practiced Ayurveda, and so we were able to completely get me off the medication.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Just so it has certainly changed your life.
Yes, it has.
Okay. Well, let's recap what we have been discussing. We talked about what Ayurveda is, and we talked about the doshas and what they are, and just a little bit about each one. And we also talked about the significance of meditation, prayer, and not so much yoga today. We didn't talk about yoga, but let's just briefly just touch on it a little bit.
Okay.
Yoga is for what purpose?
Yoga, well, if you yoga in people's
means
minds...
Means union.
Right, but in people's minds, they frequently, when we say yoga, they think of the asanas, the poses. Mm-hmm. And that is a large part of the practice. If you're talking about the full practice of yoga, that's a different thing. So we'll just stick with the asanas.
Okay, so the benefit of yoga is...
Right. Number one,
with Ayurveda.
The asanas help to develop strength and flexibility in the body. Mm-hmm. And they also help to develop and increase that awareness that is necessary in order to keep yourself healthy. And they also act to increase the desire to be healthy. Now, that sounds a little esoteric, too, but it is kind of a magic.
Yes, and it is. And we will have your coworker on a later show talk a little bit more in depth about that. But for right now, I would like to thank my guest, Laura Galoon, for sharing her journey, facilitating the healing process with her very worthwhile quest to help others to heal. If our listeners would like to find out more, Laura, how can you be reached?
They can call either of the studios, or they can go online, actually. It's probably the easiest way to find the contact information at yogashaktistudio.com.
All right, and I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning in to Frame of Mind today, and I hope that you have enjoyed our time together. I would like to ask you to think about someone you know who could be helped or served by this knowledge and share it with them. Live in peace and love, everyone, and enjoy your day. Bye.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Laura.
We hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on 7th Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths, live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.